Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am blessed to be your host this morning, and I am affectionately known as the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And for those of you who have known me for a number of years, you call me Dynamic Daphne, and I'm one of the same. I'm so excited about today's segment because my guest today is an amazing woman who I have watched on the internet for a number of years, and I'm blessed to be getting into conversation with her in a few minutes. She's chilling out in the virtual green room, as we like to refer to that. And as usual, I'm coming to you from Connecticut, and we are experiencing a gorgeous rainy morning. So regardless of the type of morning that you're having, I just pray that you will be enjoying that morning. And I want to just give you one affirmation to focus on for today. And it is for you to realize that people rarely succeed at anything unless they have fun doing it. So whatever it is you're doing, be sure to have some fun, because without having fun, you will not enjoy doing it. Again, I want to take this time to remind you that the Vision Weekend Conference date has been pushed back to September 3rd and 4th. Registration will begin on the 2nd, and we'll have our vendors up running the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th. So the website is visionweekendconference.com. So check that out, and we pray that we will see you there. The conference, the curriculum is designed specifically for entrepreneurs and small business owner. This conference will help you to shape your vision for greater success. So you'll be hearing more from me as the weeks come up ahead, but early bird registration is up now, so grab that. Again, the website is www.visionweekendconference.com. And the telephone number for you, my listeners, to join the conversation this morning is 646-915-8166. And Please be reminded that you can call in whenever you have a remark or a question. You do not need to wait for the end of our conversation. So we look forward to hear from you. And as usual, I really appreciate you, the listeners, because without you listening, we would not have a show. So let us get into the task at hand this morning and bring on live my distinguished, honored guest, Dr. Barnsley Brown. Barnsley, good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show.
Good morning, Daphne. I'm so thrilled to be here with you. And I'm in sunny North Carolina where we've got a gorgeous day, about 60 degrees.
I'm telling you, enjoy it. But you know what my take is on the weather? Regardless of what type of weather it is, the blessed thing about it, Barnsley, is that we are alive to experience it. Because
Amen.
There are many people who went to sleep and they were not blessed to wake up this morning to enjoy the sunny weather in North Carolina or the rainy weather here in Connecticut or wherever you are. So whatever weather we have this morning, we are so blessed to be experiencing that. So I am excited about our conversation this morning because we will be discussing two areas that is so well needed now, and they are like the like a twin because they come together. You know, one does not go without the other. And we are going to be talking about stress, and we're going to be talking about money and debt and all of that. And I know we all can relate to those two things because even the people who have a lot of money have stress. And those who don't have any, they still have stress. You know, I was in a conversation, I think it was last Saturday, and the gentleman was mentioning that, you know, a lot of things that is happening in Hollywood does not get to the papers, just the negative things, because he said there are frequent Bible studies that's been run in Hollywood. Because although people have the money, they do not have the happiness and the joy. So now they are turning to the thing that can help them to get that. And it was really refreshing to hear that. So we are going to be talking about some of those two things this morning. So without any further delay, why don't you take some time, Barnsley, to just introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell them about your beginning and what took you to the journey that you're now on.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know how in-depth we want to get, but I'm going
to
give
you
a shorter version. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I have to say that I grew up in a very unusual family, and I sometimes say we were like the Osbournes meeting the Brady Bunch. We had a lot of dysfunction. We had alcoholism. We had mental illness. We had violence. We had several forms of abuse. And I grew up in that environment largely feeling that I was ignored, Daphne, and that I was just really not important. And the one thing that really, really helped me, not only in addition to reading and art, was school, because I was great at school. I loved school. School was safe, and I really excelled at school. And so I have so much gratitude to all the teachers and mentors who through the years took a great interest in me and knew I had talent and told me that. What happened as a result of this, well, thankfully, I very early on, and I'm going to share this because I know there are people in this situation and there are people with kids who are living with alcoholism. Very early on, I got involved in a program called Alateen, which is for children of alcoholics. And it saved my life. It saved my life and helped me have esteem, self-esteem, and helped me realize that I was something important and that I had a gift, that I really had a responsibility to give. And each of us has that. Each of us has a gift that we have a responsibility to give to the world. We're charged with it. If you look at the ends of your fingers, what do you see? Fingerprints. Your gift is as unique as your fingerprints. And it is your responsibility to bring it to the world. So that's the beginning of me figuring that out. And I have to tell you something funny. I recently was contacted by a high school friend of mine, and I'd really kind of forgotten about him. And we used to ride the bus together, and we used to have these really deep conversations. He was a very deep person. And he said, Barnsley, when I graduated, he graduated a year before me, he said, when I graduated, you gave me the most beautiful letter. I said,
wow.
I did?
He
said, yes, you gave me the beautiful letter. And I said, wow, Mickey, I really don't remember it. Would you, do you still have it? And he said, oh, yes. I've kept it for years. So basically, he sent the letter to me, and I read it, Daphne, and what I realized, the letter was absolutely motivational. It was
a motivational letter.
And I realized then the beginning of my career, my work, my livelihood as a motivational speaker and a coach began when that early on. And it also began with a talk I gave for an Alateen conference when I was 15 years old. So I just have so much gratitude to the hard experiences in my life.
Yes, I have
so much gratitude because they made me who I am, and they help me now really work with people and really understand what's going on inside somebody, not the facade.
That's right.
Because you and I know the facade
exactly.
may be totally different. But what's going on in the heart of that person?
That's right.
The deep places of, I'm going to use the word woundedness or hurt that they've covered over. So anyway, that's the beginning, and I could tell you more. I had a car accident. I had a lot of things that happened in my 20s that catapulted me into healing work that's done with the hands, like a laying on of hands. And that is work that I've been doing since 1992 now. Every day on myself. Every day, and on other people, not every day, but, you know, on myself every day, because it all begins with yourself. You got to start healing right at home with yourself. I've been doing that for 18 years, and I have traveled across the world teaching this method of natural healing called Reiki to girls who are in juvenile delinquent homes. They're girls that I work with in Lima, Peru. I'm about to leave this summer to go down there. And abused women, battered women in Guatemala, juveniles in Guatemala, folks in Mexico and Zimbabwe. I've really had the opportunity to travel and share this with people and leave them with something that they can do on themselves for health and happiness and relief of stress. So that's just a little bit about me. I could go on and on. But I've been in business now for 10 years, and I am on my mission. And I thank God that I have had great success. I have worked hard, and it's been fun. I love your affirmation. It's absolutely been fun. I do my passion, and I'm so grateful every day when I get up. I'm happy to get out of bed. You know, I'm happy to get out of bed.
I want to piggyback on something you said, Barnsley, about that presentation you did for Al-Anon at age 15, and the letter you gave to your friend from school. That is just an affirmation to the listeners, and this is part of what I preach to people. We really do not need to look too far to find out what our purpose and callings are. Because they're right under our noses, as people always say. But because people think that your purpose and calling has to be so complicated and sophisticated, they ignore it for years and years and years. And then people who are supposed to be benefiting from what our calling and purpose is in life, they go lacking, because we really don't tap into what God has called us to do. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that this morning, because There's someone out there in radio land who needed to hear this and to know that that thing that you keep doing every day, that is tied into your calling and purpose. So I thank you for that.
Before we add something to
yes,
that,
go ahead.
Real quickly, and that is that what I say to folks in looking for your passion, your calling, and mission is to look where your passions are, what you love doing, what you would do, whether or not somebody paid you, whether or not they cared if you did it, you would do it because you love it. You look there, and then the other part you look at is your expertise. You look at your skill set. You look at your education. You look at your life experience. You look at the things you read. And then you find where your passions and your expertise intersect. And that is where your prosperity is. And that is where your calling is.
That's right. That's right. I also, before we go on, I want to touch the topic of Reiki. Because it is not some... thing. It's not a method or a system that I am familiar with. And now that I have your undivided attention, I want to take a couple minutes to enlighten myself and possibly enlighten my listeners as well. Yeah. I have heard it being said by believers, and when I say believers, I mean Christians. People who are practicing Christianity, people who are born again Christian, because that's where I worship and I'm around a lot. And I've heard it being said that that is work of the devil. I have never participated in the conversation because I'm not informed about it. So seeing that you are a practitioner in that area, would you enlighten us a bit about Reiki?
Absolutely. And I certainly have heard what you've heard as well from people. And I think that's really sad. I have to say that I think that's really sad because if you read your Bible really closely, you know that one of the gifts of the Spirit is laying on of hands.
Oh, yes, we
and
do
that.
That
is what Reiki is. It's simply a systemized way of doing that. So actually, when you do a Reiki treatment, there are different positions where you put your hands on your body, or if you're working on someone else, there are different positions where you put your hands on them, and the positions correspond to our glands that regulate the hormones in our body, and they also correspond to all the organs in our body. So basically, when you do a Reiki treatment, you are laying on of hands, and you're boosting somebody's immunity throughout their body. And the beautiful thing is it also actually doesn't just work on the physical. It helps you feel emotionally well, emotionally happy, and peaceful. And so there are benefits that come to your mind and your spirit. It doesn't just work on the physical. It also benefits your mind and your spirit. So I tell you, I was scared of Reiki. I have to tell Daphne, I'm going to tell you a quick story. For those folks who are scared of Reiki or scared of massage therapy or these kinds of things, chiropractic, some people are afraid of chiropractic. I have to say I had a car accident when I was in my early 20s. I was the sixth car in a seven-car pileup. Yes, and I was with a friend of mine. We were going to a poetry conference out of town in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and we hit going almost 40 miles an hour because somebody decided they would stop in the middle of the highway.
Ooh.
Yes, and we hit a Honda, and then we were hit from behind by a very big SUV fatigue vehicle. Now, not only did I leave that saying, thank you, God, I've decided, thank you for letting me stay on the earth longer.
Yes.
Not only did I leave that accident with that, which was a great gift, but what happened is the wife of one of my favorite professors from when I studied at Wake Forest University was the second level of Reiki. She had studied Reiki healing. Yes, and she was the second level in it. There are three levels. And so she said to me, Barnsley, would you like to have me do a little bit of Reiki? It will relieve your pain. And because I was desperate, Daphne.
You said yes.
I said yes. I was desperate. I didn't want to take the painkillers I'd been given in the emergency room because they made us fall asleep, you know, and we couldn't enjoy any of the poetry conference. So I was desperate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only way I would ever let anybody put their hands on me. I'm serious. And she did 45 minutes of laying her hands on with Reiki, and I had no pain, Daphne. I had no pain. I did not take a painkiller after that. We came back to Chapel Hill. My friend and I came back to Chapel Hill on the bus because my car was totaled. I never saw it again. Mm-hmm. We came back on the bus. A friend picked me up. I went to church. I was talking to a friend of mine who is was a nutrition professor, and I said, you know, I just had this really interesting experience with this thing called Reiki. I totally mispronounced it, right?
He knew what it was.
And she said, oh, my gosh, I'm studying that. I'm taking a course in it this weekend. Why don't I do a treatment on you?
My Lord.
You know, it just came up over and over and over again. It was like the puppy that will not leave you alone. You know you're going to take that puppy home. You know you're going to take
my
that puppy
home. My God. Yeah, take me home. Take me home. It's amazing. And, you know, the ignorance that is out there.
Yes.
You know,
right.
And it's a practice of mine. Before I get involved into any dialogue for or against, I want to be well informed.
Well, I want to say something, though. I'm going to say something. You could have a doctor. Let's just talk about medical doctors. You could have a medical doctor who is, let's say, not a good-hearted person. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And when you go to that person, you can feel that. And then you could have a medical doctor who is somebody who believes in prayer as healing. And thankfully, there's lots of research out there now on the prayer, the effect of prayer.
Right, that's
heal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so you could have a medical doctor who believes that. Now, it's not the practice that they're doing, it's the person.
The
you
person. So anybody can use good for
anything for bad.
For
yes,
for good for
people
evil.
Can try to use things and make them negative, and people can use them and make them the most healing, powerful, wonderful tool that changes somebody's life. And I thankfully get to see this change people's lives, but what I love about it is it empowers people to do this on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It empowers them to actually do the treatment on themselves every day. And so I do, in every morning, I do 30 to 45 minutes in silence. Mm-hmm. It is my time of meditation. It's my time of prayer and focus on the positive in my life, and it's the time that I connect to that divine spark that is within me and that is within each of us. So, you know, I hope that the people who are scared will realize that it's not the thing itself so much as it is the way a person may
person
use it.
Applies it. Yes.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, because I tell you, this time is going, it's already 10:22, but I can see that we can do an entire show on Reiki, because from what I'm hearing you say, I can see there's a lot of advantages there for an entrepreneur to utilize to enhance their lives. So we will talk about that.
Let me say one last thing, too, for people to think about. I believe that Jesus, well, he obviously had healing ability.
Oh, yes, he did.
He obviously did, but I believe, you know, you can call it Reiki or you can just call it energy, whatever you want to call it. He had it, and he had it so much that remember the woman who touched the hem of his garment?
With the issue of the blood,
and she was healed, yes. She didn't even touch his hand. She touched the hem of his garment.
Of his garment, so it shows that the entire garment was empowered and energized with his power. And that's Thank you. Ooh, let's peek into where did the time go. Let us go into money and stress. How does these things connect?
Well, it connects. You know, there was a recent study done by the APA, the American Psychological Association, and they said, first of all, this is a couple of years ago, and since the recession, I believe it's even higher. They said
higher.
One third of all Americans state that they are living in a state of extreme stress.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme stress. 50% mm-hmm. stated in 2007 that they had more stress than 5 years before. And then mm-hmm. 75% stated that their two greatest sources of stress were, guess what? Work
and money.
Exactly.
How does one manage stress? Because we know, as you just mentioned, a high percentage of people experience great amount of stress. So stress, from my learning, will not be cured, but it can be effectively managed.
Yes.
And how do we do that? I know you have a great program and service that you do that allow people to live a happy, joyous, positive life, even though they are experiencing stress. And you give a method or a system to soar above stress. How do we do that?
Well, first of all, let me ask a question for everyone to ponder, and that is, do you really want to be stress-free?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to be stress-free? Now, when I ask this, when I'm speaking to associations or corporations or other groups, I ask this question, everybody raises their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, well, that's a trick question.
That's right.
Think about it, because the only time we are going to be stress-free is when we're 6 feet underground.
Under, that's right.
All right,
that's
and
right.
I don't know about you, but I'd rather be above ground.
Exactly, right now, you know, because
work to do.
Lots of legacies to create, yep. So.
Exactly. So that's the first thing. Like you say, stress is always going to be a part of life. It is not going to go away. And, in fact, what we must do is change our attitude and change our ways of dealing with the stressors, because the stressors will still be there. But
right.
when we change our method of being, our method of living, then we better equip ourselves to deal with the stress with strength and courage and to have joy in the face of any challenging situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we know that we will never be given anything more than we can handle. We know
that's
that.
That's right.
Right.
You know?
We know that. And so we can handle it, but there are specific tools. Now, one I want to recommend to everyone, I've actually already mentioned in our discussion about Reiki, and
mm-hmm.
that is that you need to have a daily spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
A daily spiritual practice. Now, for some people, that may be meditation. They may sit down and meditate. For some people, that might be a prayer partner. They call a prayer partner, and they pray together. For
mm-hmm.
some people, that might be a Reiki treatment, like me.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that might be a walking meditation, where they go out and walk in the neighborhood, and they do a gratitude meditation and thank God for all their blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to have a daily spiritual practice. When we have a daily spiritual practice and we are connected to that spark of the divine that is within us and that is expressing through each of us, then we are better able to make the decisions that we need to make throughout the day, and we're better able to be in the flow of what I call divine order, the
mm-hmm.
flow of the way things can move so easily. You know, when you're in that flow, there are all these great synchronicities, everything's pretty easy, and you are guided, and you're following that guidance.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't listen, that's when we get into issues.
That's right,
so,
that's right.
You know, spiritual practice is essential. It's an essential part of releasing stress. The second thing I want to say is that what we feed our body temples in thought, the way
mm-hmm.
that we think,
mm-hmm.
and in water and in our food is essential. What we feed our body temples is essential, and we're not only feeding nourishment in the form of food and water, but we're feeding nourishment in the form of the thoughts that we think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like to say to people, you know, you've made a decision, you've made a choice before your feet even hit the floor.
Exactly.
You'll have a good day.
Exactly. I know our associations play a great role in that, because we are eventually going to become the people we are with. One way or another, it might be long term, short term. So, if the people around you are not contributing to a healthy lifestyle, neither will you. So, don't be afraid or ashamed or feel guilty to shed some people out of your life. Because in order to progress, you need to take action.
Yes, and I love that metaphor of shedding some people out of your life, because when you get on a different wavelength, really. That's the best way to put it. You get on
exactly.
You're on a different radio station. You know, you're tuned into negativity. I mean, you're tuned into positivity. You're tuned into Victor am I, and they're tuned into victim am I.
Exactly.
You're tuned into victor, they're tuned into victim. There's no way. You will simply be drained.
That's right. That's
hanging
right.
Out with them. And I do, you know, I do go into situations when I travel. I do go into situations where there's a lot of issues going on. But I'm able to go in, do my work, teach them something that they can use, and then I leave there. If you are living in such a situation, you've got to make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make some changes, and that's one of the things that I think is so wonderfully revolutionary about 12-step programs, and of course that's a very spiritual program. Any 12-step program, whether it's Gamblers Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous or Al-Anon or Codependents Anonymous, they've got them for everything. Any program says that all change begins with you. All
exactly.
Change begins with you. So I really, really agree with you. Yes, the associations that we form are very important, and I have a word for our biggest stressors. I call them energy vampires.
Oh, my God. And it's true, because it latches on, and it sucks, and it extracts. And,
yes.
You know, we are our responsibility. You know,
yes.
There's a lot of people, they go around and they find everything to blame. And they just refuse to look in the mirror. They refuse to look in the mirror because we don't have to look too far. The causes and reasons for everything in our lives is right here. We just need to stand in front of a mirror. And we...
You know what? Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Barnsley.
I was going to say, and in addition to that, the causes, I had somebody say to me one time, and I thought this was so profound, they said, okay, if you want to understand the results you're getting in your life right now, look at what you were thinking 10 years ago. And
exactly.
Who you were hanging out with, who you
were exactly.
spending time with.
That's right.
All right? So we need to take responsibility, and actually, you know, we just need to forgive ourselves, Daphne.
Oh, yes. And forgive ourselves and start to love us. Because
yes.
People are going out there chasing love, chasing
yes.
it all over, yet you refuse from loving yourself. So if you are not in love with you, why should
right.
someone else be? You know? We are at 10:33. So let's talk a little bit about money, how to get out of debt. And of course, people, you know that we are just touching the iceberg. We cannot even peel the onion back this morning because the time is limited. But I'm sure we will have Dr. Barnsley Brown back. So let's talk about money, getting out of debt and all of that.
Well, first of all, because we've only got a little bit of time, I do want to let people know I've written a book, and it's
I'm going to have you to talk about that at the end.
Great. But what I want to say, Daphne, is that I am only going to touch the tiniest icicle of a huge iceberg. Right?
Yes, and I know that, and that's why I mentioned.
And so I really want people to know that they can get more information and where they can get it. But what I want to talk about, what is so powerful, and again, this comes back to a spiritual principle, and that is tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing. I believe the most important thing that we can ever do, and in my book I do talk about practical things like your spending strategy, like tracking your expenses, like how to save money, how to create more money from your intellectual capital, all of these things I talk about. But the most important that I could ever talk about would be the concept of tithing, and tithing to your sources of spiritual support and nourishment. Let me repeat that, tithing to the sources of your spiritual support and nourishment. Now, that can be a church, certainly. That can be a author whose books inspire you. Like for me, I love Marianne Williamson. I think she's a great author. That, and she's a spiritual author. That could be a spiritual counselor that you go to who assists you. Even perhaps a therapist, but we need to tithe to the sources of our spiritual support. That could be your show, Daphne. People can tithe to your show. Wherever we receive spiritual nourishment, if we will tithe back, we will be prospered. We will be prospered on all levels. Now, I think it sounds like maybe we've got a little bit of debt on the other end, but I'm going to just keep talking about the principle of tithing. When we tithe, we've got to tithe without expecting anything in return. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the tithe as a tenth, one-tenth. That's actually the meaning of the word tithe. But what happens when you really begin to recognize that you've got sources of support and nourishment, spiritual support and nourishment all around you, is that you begin to give more and more and more, and all your affairs, all your finances, everything, your relationships prosper as a result. So I don't believe in just having a percentage, you know, slapping a percentage on it and saying you have to give 10% or you have to give X amount. I very much believe that we need to give freely to the sources of our spiritual support. Daphne, are you there? Daphne, are you there? Well, let me go ahead and just continue on, and hopefully Daphne will be able to get back on here. But for those of you who are listening, one of the places that you can start with tithing is this. Just right now, take a pen and paper. Take a pen and paper and write down the people and places and activities that nourish you. For example, your church or your meditation group, your prayer group, your 12-step group, your mastermind group. If you have a mastermind group, I have two mastermind groups that I'm a part of, and those are wonderful. Maybe there's a particular restaurant that you go to and there's someone who always has a positive, kind word to say, that's a person you should put on your list. Anyone who is nourishing you spiritually, put down the authors you love. Maybe there's a seminar or class leader that you love to go to their classes. Put their name down. And so then you'll have a list of all these places that you can tithe to. And you can give freely from what you have. And I also want to make the point that tithing is not just tithing of money. Money is just one form of exchange. You can tithe of your talents. You can give your talents and abilities. Let's say you are a good musician. You can give that to your church. You can give your treasures, which is your money, but you could also donate some things that you own to it. Auction at your church, a fundraiser at your church for the youth or whatever. And you can also tithe of your time, where you, for example, are a prayer partner for someone after the service, or you go and visit shut-ins and take food and pray with them.
Dr. Brown, are you hearing
yes.
me?
Yes.
Oh, we lost power in Connecticut, but thank God it's back on. And
oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I just kept talking.
Yes, it was beautiful. It's the beauty when you work with a professional. They know how to keep the ball rolling. So I want to thank you for that. I beg your pardon?
Do you think that they did we have the power outage? Because I could just quickly reiterate what I said.
Oh, no. You were on, I think it was
great.
In Connecticut. I don't think it was at Blog Talk.
Oh, super good, because I just
wonderful.
Gave them some thoughts about how to tithe and also
yes.
tithing of your time, talent, and treasure, not
yes.
just seeing this as money.
Money,
our
exactly.
Prosperity, our
exactly.
prosperity is about our well-being. It's
exactly.
about feeling that we are leading the life we want to
mm-hmm.
lead that
mm-hmm.
is congruent with our
mm-hmm.
authentic identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
what it truly is.
We are at 10:39, and I know that we need to be sensitive to time because you have other commitments this morning, but I'm sure we will have you back at another time. Why don't you please just do your closing thoughts and tell people how they can get in touch with you for
okay.
additional information.
All right. Well, there are several free things that your listeners can have, and all you need to do is go to my website, which is www.spirited, S-P-I-R-I-T-E-D. Then there's a dash. It's not an underscore. It's a dash, solutions, solutions.com. So if your listeners will go to that website, www.spirited-solutions.com, you'll see a box in the top right hand, and you can get a free report, which is How to Overcome Overwhelm in 7 Easy Steps. It's really fun and funny and also packed with information. You can get that, and you can also get a free subscription to my email newsletter. And in that, I send out, I actually answer questions sometimes of people. I do coaching answers to questions. I send out short videos for inspiration with valuable tips that people can use to relieve stress and get on their mission. I send out special offers, all sorts of good stuff, a couple of times a month. So go ahead and sign up and get that freebie for yourself. And also, the book that I mentioned is under products. If you see products, you can just click on that and click on books, and you'll find out everything about the book that has over 100 pages of information on prospering and many, many ideas that you can use to prosper. And it's called Get Out of Debt and Get On with Your Life. It also includes an audio. So that's under products and books, all right, for the people who want to go even further, get more information, and really, really turn their lives around. So you can
okay.
contact me through the website. And my closing, I guess my closing thought for you all.
Yes, you have 4 minutes.
Be, mm-hmm. Oh, good. We've got some time. My closing thoughts for everyone would be, first of all, right now, put on your piece of paper that we talked about before. Get out your piece of paper and your pen again and write down energy vampires. And I want you to list those people and those activities that are draining your energy. For example, if you're smoking, that's an energy drain. That's an energy vampire. If you're using a lot of alcohol, that's an energy vampire. If you have a really negative person living in your house, or you're caretaking somebody who's a really negative or maybe even abusive person, then that's an energy vampire. If you have a boss who's mean, that's an energy vampire. Put those folks down, list them out, and you've got to figure out ways, and I go into this in my writing, you've got to figure out ways to limit your exposure to these people and these things. To limit your exposure so that you can stay positive and you can do your mission. So that's the first thing I recommend. The second thing is take the list that you've written of people and places that inspire and nourish you spiritually and begin to tithe. Now, I don't care how much money you have. I started this when I was a poverty-stricken graduate student. I'm serious. I had very little money, and I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to tithe? But as soon as I started to tithe, incredible opportunities for spiritual evolution, I'm going to call it evolution and advancement for me, started coming my way in the form of classes I could take, in the form of opportunities for wonderful jobs. Just great stuff started coming my way. So take the leap and begin to tithe. There's a ton of information about that in the book, so you can really get a lot out of the book. But just for now, begin to tithe. And I guess the third thing I would say is put into place, the third and final would be put into place your spiritual practice, your daily spiritual practice, something you love to do, something you love to do. Maybe it's gardening while you do prayer at the same time. Something you love to do, put that in place every day. and think very carefully about the thoughts and the food and the water that you put into your body temple, and be vigilant. Be vigilant about those. No excess caffeine, no excess alcohol, no excess anything. And fresh vegetables and fruits, lots of water. Those strengthenings of your physical body are going to also affect your mental self and your spiritual self. And you'll find yourself much less stressed with much more energy for the mission and calling that is yours, as unique as your fingerprints. My prayer for each of you is that you will take the time and do the soul searching to figure out why you're here.
Yes.
You have a particular
very
calling,
important.
And it's time to make it happen. We never know how much time we have. I have had several experiences where I very well could have been killed. Two accidents, yes, and also an allergic response that I nearly died 4 years ago. And each time this has happened, I've given thanks to God that I had more time. Thank you, God, for giving me,
yes,
more time to do what,
yes,
I'm here to do.
To do your work.
And each, yes, of us has that. Each of us has that one particular thing that is ours. And as you said at the beginning, Daphne, if we don't do it, if we don't pay attention and we don't do it, we're being selfish because we,
yes,
are depriving everyone who could benefit from it.
Yes, yes.
We're depriving,
yes,
them.
Yes.
And we're depriving,
well,
ourselves.
Yes. It's 10:45, and I want to be respectful of your time.
You.
I want to thank you for coming on, and I look forward to having you back to teach us more about Reiki and how we can all benefit from that, because it sounds as if it's a process that we all can utilize for a more fulfilled, healthy life. So keep doing God's work, Bansley. I look forward to our relationship growing, and I look forward to us adding value to each other's mission and vision.
Thank you, Daphne. God bless you, and God bless each one of us who's listening. And I just send you all a big, big hug over the virtual internet here. And
yes.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank
today.
You. It was
it's
a pleasure.
A joy.
Yes, I look forward to having you back. You have a blessed day, Bonsley.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
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 Well, you all, you were just listening to Dr. Bansley Brown, and what an amazing, amazing woman she is. And she came on and she just affirmed a lot of amazing things that we know about. And we oftentimes tend to just forget about them. But the things that she mentioned this morning, they are things that we are not accustomed to. They are things that we are always hearing, but we tend to think, oh no, that's too simple. And all we need to do, folks, is to go back to basics. Go back to basics, because when we go back to basics, we will get it right every time. And Bansley mentioned about our spiritual practices, and you know, whatever it is that we decide to do, it is part of who we are. And our successes and prosperity that we come accustomed to. You know, she mentioned about tithing, and a lot of people oftentimes tell you that, oh, I'm not working, I don't have any money to tithe. But she mentioned about, you know, giving of your time, giving of service, and all of that. And that is so true. You know, God does not want our money, but we need his blessings on our money. And whatever we can do to get that blessing, we need to do that. And with that being said, and seeing that I think I'm going to have the remaining hour and 11 minutes by myself, I want to just go ahead and share my daily meditation for today, if you may. It starts off, it says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And for those of you who have a Bible, you know that that is taken from Mark 9, verse 23. And it reads, the all things do not always come simple for the asking. For the reason that God is ever seeking to teach us the way of faith, and in our training in the faith life, there must be room for the trial of faith. The discipline of faith, the patience of faith, the courage of faith, and often many stages are passed before we really realize what is the end of faith, namely the victory of faith. Real moral fiber is developed through discipline of faith. You have made your request of God, but the answer does not come. What are you to do? Keep on believing God's word. Never be moved away from it by what you see or feel, and thus as you stand steadily. Enlarged power and experience in being developed is being developed. The fact of looking at the apparent contradiction as to God's word and being unmoved from your position of faith make you stronger and vary on every other line. Often God delays purposely, and the delay is just as much an answer to our prayers as is the fulfillment when it comes. In the lives of all the great Bible characters, God worked thus. Abraham, Moses, Elijah were not great in the beginning, but were made great through the discipline of their faith. And only thus were they fitted for the positions to which God had called them. For example, in the case of Joseph, whom the Lord was training for the throne of Egypt, we read in the Psalms, the word of the Lord tried him. It was not the prison life with its hard beds and poor food that tried him, but it was the word God had spoken into his heart in the early years concerning salvation and honor, which were greater than his brethren were to receive. It was this which was ever before him when every step in his career made it seem more and more impossible of fulfillment, until he was there imprisoned, and all the innocents, while others who were perhaps justly incarcerated, were released, and he was left to lavish alone. These were hours that tried his soul, but hours of spiritual growth and development, that when his word came, the word of release, found him fitted for the delicate task of leading with his wayward brethren, with a love and patience only surpassed by God himself. No amount of persecution tries like such experience as these. When God has spoken of his purpose to you, and yet the days go on and he does not do it, that is truly hard, but it is a discipline of faith that will bring us into a knowledge of God which would otherwise be impossible. You know, I am excited about this reading this morning because I tell you, this is a testimony of my life. And I'm sure I am not unique by any means. There are many people out there who are really experiencing and going through challenges and difficult times. But if we begin to flex and expand our faith muscles, we will find out that these muscles become stronger and stronger and stronger every day. We will get to understand that we can remove mountains. And, you know, one of the greatest mountains that we all face now is the mountain of lack. Lack in so many different areas. And we who are faithful and faith-filled, we need to stretch those muscles. We need to go on our knees, find out what our spiritual connections are. Not our religious connections, but our spiritual connections. You heard Dr. Barnsley Brown spoke earlier on her segment about what her spiritual commitment has done for her over these many years. She mentioned in the beginning the type of family that she was blessed to be part of. But however, those experiences there has helped her life to catapult to where she is today. It also has equipped her to work with some of those same people now in her career. And it has helped her to be able to work with them from a heart-to-heart perspective. You know, she don't judge them. She works with them and she knows how she can help them to become better in the things that they are doing. You know, we have all the tools that we need to build our lives in the direction that God wants us to go. We are a powerful people because inside of us lies dormantly things that we use to help our lives. And it is, you know, there are simple steps. I know one of the things that I need to continually remind myself to do is to be quiet. Take some quiet time. Take some still time. Listen and write in my journal. Listen and write in my journal because we are too busy running, ripping and running to this place, to that place, to that place. Sometimes we cannot even catch our breaths. So we need, especially as female, we need to take some time to be still. Be still and know. Be still and listen. Because there are a lot, lots and lots of great information and ideas we are missing during those times that we are ripping and running and we do not listen to know what are the things that God has for us. You know, there is a great book by Jack Canfield, and it is The Power of Focus. And, you know, it is so important that we invest in ourselves and just take the time to know what it is we are supposed to be doing to improve our lives and also the lives of our families. I want to read some of Jack's book because I know one of our greatest burden as women is to know how to use the word no. And The Power of No, as Jack writes, staying with these boundaries require a new level of self-discipline. That means being more conscious every day of the activities you choose to spend your time on, to avoid drifting away from your focus. Ask yourself at regular intervals, is what I'm doing right now helping me to achieve my goals? This takes practice. It also means saying no a lot more. There are three areas to examine. And the first area is yourself. I know that this is a challenge for a lot of people because a lot of people finds it difficult, to evaluate themselves. So, step one, yourself. The biggest battle going on every day is between your own ears. We talk ourselves in and out of situations constantly. Put a stop to this, Jack says. When that little negative voice in the back of your head demands attention and tries to get you to forfeit off your thinking, take time out. Give yourself a quick mental pep talk. Focus on the benefits and rewards of sticking to your priorities and reminding yourself of the negative consequences if you don't. And I tell you, for those of you who are my clients, you know that we have amazing self-talk CDs that you can use to help you with that. So if you're looking for a red-on system, so get in touch with me, sign up for my coaching service, and you get the positive self-talk cassettes that can help you through this hump. Step number two. Other people. A variety of other people may attempt to destroy your focus. Sometimes they wander into your office for a chat because you have an open door policy. Here's how to fix that change your policy. Here's how to fix that. Change your policy. Close your door for at least part of the day when you want to be left alone so you can concentrate on your big project. If that doesn't work, you might put up a sign that says, "Do not disturb." Any intruders will be fired. Top California business consultant and best-selling author Donnie Cox uses this vivid analogy when it comes to focusing on priorities. He says, if you got a fog to swallow, don't look at it too long. If you have got more than one a swallower, swallow the biggest one first. In other words, tackle your most important priorities immediately. Don't be like most people who have six things on their daily to-do list and start working the easiest, low-priority task first. At the end of the day, the number one priority, the biggest frog, is still sitting there untouched. Here's an idea. Buy yourself a big plastic frog and place it on your desk when you are working on a top priority project. Alert your staff that the green frog means absolutely no interruptions. Who works? Maybe this will spread to the rest of the team and you'll have a more productive office. Step number three. The telephone. And I think right here too, we could really add the internet, you know. Perhaps the most insidious intrusion of all is the telephone. Isn't it amazing how people allow this little piece of hardware to control their day? If you require 2 hours of interrupted time, unplug the phone and turn off your cell phone or any other device that may distract you. Email, voice mail, and answering machines can help you avoid these annoying interruptions. Use them wisely. Obviously, there are times when you need to be available. Pre-schedule your appointments, just like a doctor. 2 to 5 on Mondays, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Tuesdays. Then, choose the most productive time to make your phone calls. For example, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you want to enjoy bigger results, there are times when you need to be scheduled from the outside world. Give up the habit of automatically reaching for the phone every time it rings. Say no and take charge at home too. Our time management friend, Harold Taylor, recalls an incident in the days when he was addicted to a ringing phone. And arriving home, he heard the phone ring. In his haste to get there before it stopped, he broke down the screen door, dashed his leg, gushing his leg in the process. Undaunted, he hurled several pieces of furniture in the desperate bid to find out who was calling. Just before the final ring, he lifted the receiver, gushing and saying hello. A demure voice replied, "Do you subscribe to the Globe and Mail?" There's Another suggestion to avoid those telemarketing calls. Unplug your home phone at mealtimes. Isn't that when they call most often? Your family will appreciate the opportunity to some real discussion instead of these annoying intrusions. Don't allow your better future and your peace of mind to be put on hold through constant interruptions. Consciously stop yourself, and when you start things that are not in your best interest, from now on, those wasteful activities are off limits. You don't go there anymore. And that is so true. You know, we are all victims of those three things. Especially for us as entrepreneurs, we do not delegate things to anybody else who may want to help us. We constantly are just doing everything ourselves and running as if we are chickens without heads. And we need to stop that, and we need to understand the importance of focusing on whatever else it is that we have to do. I want to welcome the people in the chat room. And we had Dr. Barnsley Brown on in the first segment. So I'm asking you to catch that on the archive. It was an amazing segment. So I am spending the next 48 minutes, and I'm sharing different sections of Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen and Les Hewitt's book, The Power of Focus, because we as entrepreneurs, we oftentimes are our worst enemies, because we just think that maybe because your office is at home and you work from home, nobody respects that. They think that they can just run to mommy and run to daddy real quickly to get something done because you're near there. So you need to put into place some of these boundaries that I just mentioned there. Now we're going to be reading from the same book, The Power of Focus. And this section is called The Master Plan. Now that we have laid the ground rule, it is time to get started on your own master plan. It is the exciting part, actually creating your better future and the clarity to go with it. This is your big picture. There are six major steps being suggested. Read through all six first and then set time aside to implement each strategy. And I will read them slow so that when you go back and listen to the archive, you can get them, or you can probably get the book. Use the action steps at the end of the chapter to guide a step. Step 5 and 6 will be dealt with in a greater detail in chapters 4 and 5, so you're going to want to read the book or call me back, and I'll be going over different sections of the book in the weeks ahead. Review the top 10 goals checklist. Use this checklist as your frame of reference when you sit down to create your actual goal, it will help you design a crystal clear picture. So I want to tell you what that that checklist is. And here are the checklists for creating a master plan to maximize your results. Remember, your goals must be yours, number one. They must be meaningful, number two. They must be specific and measurable, number three. They need to be flexible, number four. They need to be challenging and exciting. Remember earlier on when I gave you the affirmation about having fun with whatever you do. Number six, in alignment with your core values. Number seven, well balanced. Number eight, contributing to society. Number nine, realistic. And number 10, supported. Now, these, I know everyone already knows these things, but so often we get sidetracked and off course. Number two, go to the gusto. Go 101 goals. To get your juices flowing, make a list of 101 things you want to accomplish in the next 10 years. Have fun with this and open your mind to all the possibilities. Create a childlike enthusiasm. Do not place any restrictions on your thinking. Be specific and personalize your goal, your list, by starting each sentence with "I am" or "I will." For example, "I am taking a 6 weeks vacation to Europe," or "I will save or invest 10% of my net income every month." To help you, here are a few important questions to help you focus. Question number one, what do I want to do? Number two, what do I want to have? Number three, where do I want to go? What contribution do I want to make? What do I want to become? What do I want to learn? Who do I want to spend my time with? How much do I want to earn, save, and invest? How much time do I want off of fun? What will I do to create optimum health? To ensure that you enjoy excellent balance in your life, choose some goals in each of the following areas: career and business, financial, fun time, health and fitness, relationships, personal and contributions, plus any others that are of special significance to you. Prioritize your list. Now that you have stretched your imagination, the next step is to prioritize. Take a look at each of your 101 goals and determine a realistic time frame for accomplishment. Write a number beside each goal, 1, 3, 5, or 10 years. This will give you a general framework to work from. In his great book on Purpose Person, author Kevin W. McCarthy describes an excellent technique to help you prioritize. He calls it the tournament draw. This is a format used for all of the Super Bowl playoffs. Prioritize your choices by making separate draw sheets for every 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and 10 year goals. Schedule more time for paperwork. These are just examples. Reorganize my office. Write a book about selling. So in order to reorganize your office, you could hire a personal assistant. Number 4, hire a personal assistant. And that is going to help you to be a winner above all the other setbacks that you had. Number 5, develop a new product. Number 6, delegate key client follow-up. Number 7, upgrade your computer. And 8, explore new markets in California or New York areas. And those are just example of how you can create these design flow sheets for prioritizing your goals. The main draw, list each of your 1 year goals on the left-hand side of the sheet. Make the draw sheet big enough to accommodate all the items on your list. 16, 32, 64 lines deep. We are assuming you will have more than 8 one-year goals. This is the preliminary draw. Now you decide which goals are most important. That is, which ones will move on the next round. Repeat this process until you end up with the final 8. These have now become your main draw. Again, you must select which of these 8 are more important all the way through to the final winner. This will be your single most important priority. To help you decide, go with your gut feeling. Your intuition is rarely wrong. Thus, simple system to choose what is most meaningful to you and what is less important. You can, of course, complete the less important goals later as you wish. Now, repeat this for your 3, 5, and 10-year goals. We know that all 5 and 10-year vision is often more difficult to create. However, it's well worth the extra effort. Those years will be up on you faster than you think. Make sure you at least have a 3-year plan. Here's one other virtual tip. Before you prioritize, write the most important reasons that you want to accomplish each goal and the biggest benefit you will receive upon completion. As we mentioned before, big reasons are the driving force that keep you going, keep the going when the going gets tough. It's a good use of your time to clearly identify your reasons before you start. This will ensure that your main draw goals really are the most important one on your list. I want to remind you that if you have any input, feel free to call me at 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. If you have any feedback or contribution you want to put into this conversation. Step number three, create a picture book, which is what we call the vision board as well. And this is part of what we will be doing at the Vision Conference. To improve your focus on new lifestyle, you want to create a picture book of your most important goals. This is an enjoyable process, and the whole family can join in. Buy a large photo album and start collecting pictures. For example, if one of your goals is to have a holiday in London, England, get some travel brochure and cut out 3 or 4 pictures of the attractions you want to see. If it's a family vacation, place a bold header at the top of the page that heads, "I'm enjoying a 3-week holiday with my family in London, England," and include the date you want to go. You can divide your picture book into lifestyle sections. Make sure you include all the areas you mentioned in step two. Our friend Glenda Salzberg consistently uses this strategy with great success. Early in her career, Glenda was a single mom with 3 young daughters, a house payment, a car payment, a need to rekindle some dreams here. Here's her story. One evening I attended a seminar on the IXV=R principles. Imagination mixed with vividness becomes reality. That's what that principle is. The speaker pointed out that the mind thinks in pictures, not in words. And as we vividly picture in our minds what we desire, it will become a reality. This concept struck a chord of creativity in my heart. I knew the biblical truth that the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, Psalm 37 and verse 4. And that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:37. I was determined to take my written list of desires and turn it into pictures. So I cut up old magazines and gathered pictures and depicted the desires of my heart. When I arranged them in an attractive photo album and waited expectantly. My pictures were specific. They included, one, a woman in a wedding gown and a good-looking man in a tuxedo. Two, bouquets of flowers. Three, an island in a sparkling blue Caribbean. Four, college diplomas for my girls. Five, a woman vice president of a company. I was working for a company that had no female officers. I wanted to be the first woman vice president. Six, a mantra board hat representing my desire to earn a master's degree from Fuller Theological Seminary so that I could influence others spiritually. 8 weeks later, I was driving down a California freeway while I was admiring a beautiful red and white car next to mine. The driver looked at me and smiled. I smiled back. The next thing I knew, he was following me. I pretended to ignore him, but he followed me for 15 miles. Almost scared me to death. I drove for a few more miles. He drove a few more miles. I parked, he parked, and eventually I marry him. After our first date, Jim sent me a dozen roses. We dated for about 2 years. Every Monday, he sent me a dozen roses and a love note. Before we marry, Jim said, "I've found the perfect place for our honeymoon, St. John's Island in the Caribbean." I did not confess the truth about my picture book until Jim and I were moved into our new home, which I had also pictured in the album. Soon after, I became vice president of human resources in the company where I worked. After completing my master's degree, I was one of the first women admitted as a doctoral candidate at Fuller Seminary. Not only did my daughters earn college degrees, but they created their own picture album and have seen God at work in their own lives through this principle. This sounds like a fairy tale, but it is absolutely true. Since then, Jim and I have made picture books. I've discovered there are no impossible dreams. You rarely can have the desires of your heart. Today, Glenn Salisbury is one of the top professional speakers in the country and a former vice president of National Speakers Association. The clearer and more specific pictures are, the more clearly you are to stay focused on them and attract the result you want. To be creative, explore difficult ways to enforce your vision. A picture goal book is a great way to start. In Chapter 4, Creating Optimum Balance, you will learn how to specifically develop action plan and will transform your picture into reality. Before you get that, though, here are the three remaining strategies to help you or create unusual clarity. Number four, use an ideas book. This is simple, a notebook where you jot down day-to-day observations and insights. It is a powerful tool to expand your awareness. Did you ever have a big idea in the middle of the night? You sit straight up in bed and your mind is racing. Usually you only have a few seconds to capture that idea before you lose it. Or your body says, go back to sleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, you may drift back to sleep, wake up hours later, and have completely forgotten what your great idea was. I wanted to take a... No, not yet. I need to finish this. I was going to take a break, but no, we're going to continue. A brilliant idea without action is like Mark McGuire playing baseball without a bat. This is why an idea book is so valuable. By recording your best thoughts in writing, you never need to rely on your memory. And you always hear me talk about journaling. That's where I put all my ideas. Use your book for business ideas, sales tips, presentation skills, money-making projects, quotes you have read, or stories that will help you explain some things better. Just keep your ears and eyes open every day and listen to your own intuition. For example, if you have just finished a great sales presentation where everything went exactly as planned and you chose and you close a big deal, capture it in your idea book. What did you say that worked so well? Maybe you ask a specific question that prompted the buying decision, or gave a better explanation of your benefits and service. Replay the presentation in your mind and write down what worked. It's also beneficial to tape record your presentation. Invite someone who you really respect to go over it with you. And then you can brainstorm how to improve it. Keep practicing. Movie star Robin Williams averages 30 takes per scene until both he and the director are satisfied with his performance. Did you ever screw up an important presentation? That's also a good time to open your idea book and record what you did wrong. You might underline it in red ink and add, never say this again. In both examples, by writing down your thoughts while they are finished in your mind, you reinforce what worked and what didn't work. This gives you incredible clarity. Here's another valuable suggestion for your book. First thing in the morning, for 10 minutes, record your feelings. Words to describe feelings include anxious, sad, happy, excited, bored, angry, enthusiastic, frustrated, energized. Right in the present tense, as if you are having a conversation with yourself. Use I language. I am feeling anxious today because my daughter is driving on her way for the her own way for the first time. Or I feel excited because I'm starting a new job this morning. When you consistently get in touch with your feelings, you are more connected to everyday situations and more aware of what's really going on in your life. Step 5, visualize, think, reflect, and review. The power of visualization is often seen in sports. Olympic athletes mentally run the event in their mind several times just before they perform. They totally focus on a positive result. Olympic gold medalist Mark Tuskeberg, the Canadian who won the 200-meter backstroke swim in 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain, actually stood on the winner's podium on the eve of the race and visualized a come-from-behind winning performance. He heard the roaring of the crowd, could see where his family was sitting in the stands, and saw himself triumphantly accepting the gold medal. The next day, he swam the race exactly as imagined and won by a fingertip. Remember, if you copy the techniques of champions, you too can become a champion. Use your positive imagination to create these winning pictures. The sharper these images are and the more intensely you feel, the more likely you are to create the desired result. It's a powerful process. In Chapter 4, Creating Optimum Balance, you will learn how to create a deeper level on how to reflect and review your progress every day. All of these techniques help to produce usual clarity, one that will give you a distinct edge in the marketplace. Develop mentors and mastermind groups. Another wonderful way to ensure major improvements in your productivity and vision is to enlist the aid of people who have vast experiences in areas where you need the more help. When you surround yourself with a carefully chosen team of experts, your learning curve increases rapidly. Very few people do this consistently. Again, if you dare to be different, you will reap the rewards down the road. The alternative is to figure everything out yourself using trial and error. It's a slow way to move forward because you run into many roadblocks and distractions. On the other hand, cultivating advice and wisdom from specific mentors propel you to faster results. A mastermind group consists of 4 to 6 people who meet regularly to share ideas and support each other. These are powerful alliances. They are designed to foster longer-lasting relationships. You learn all about this in Chapter 5. build excellent relationships. Now that you have a complete framework to create your long-term goals, here's the final piece of the puzzle we call the Achievers Focusing System. This simple but highly effective focusing method makes it easy for you to measure progress and stay on track. It's used by all of our most successful clients. Essentially, it breaks your goals into 7 categories and focus you to enjoy the excellent balance. You can decide the time frame for achieving these results. A 2-month cycle is good. This is not too far away, yet it gives you enough time to set some meaningful targets. The 7 goal categories are as follows: financial, business, career, fun time, health and fitness, relationship, personal, contribution. When you delegate a portion of your time to accomplishing one significant goal in each of these areas every 60 days, you will start enjoying what most people are desperately striving for: balance. And with balance comes peace of mind. All the details of this are laid out in the action step at the end of this chapter. The Achievers Focusing System is the backbone of our overall plan. Initially, it may seem a bit unreasonable to complete 7 goals in 60 days, but with practice, you can do it. Start with small increments and gradually increase the size of your goals. When you start this process, it's more important to create 7 mini victories for yourself than to set your target too high. To keep these in the forefront of your mind, review them daily. Most people don't do this. In fact, most people don't even have an action plan for their goals. Be smarter and give yourself a jump on the competition. It will pay off handsomely. I am so excited about sharing this with you. I hope that you got something out of it. When you listen to the first segment of today's show, you will listen to what Dr. Brown mentioned about the energy vampires. And I just like that terminology, because there are energy robbers, energy vampires, as she puts it, that drain us, and we need to know how to deal with those. So I encourage you to go back and listen to the first episode. I'm thankful for the people who joined me in the chat room today. And I am always looking for guests for the show. And if you have a great story about your journey, I would love you to be on the show. I'm here to help to showcase you, my listeners, so that people can know about what it is you do, and we can just help to add value to each other's vision and purpose. And with 11 minutes remaining, before I close, I want to send out condolences to Miss Computer Lady from my listeners and I, you all know her. She is one of the hosts here on Blog Talk Show. And her mother passed, I think, 2 weeks ago. So we want to send out our prayers to her and her family. And just tell her to hang on, hold on to her faith, and know that she will see her mother again. So we sell condolences to you, Miss Computer Lady, from the listeners here at the A New Day Show, and also myself. I want to remind you about the conference coming up. And the things you hear me went over here this morning is just a tip of the iceberg of some of the things that you will be getting at the Vision Weekend Conference. Now, the new date is September the 3rd and 4th. Registration starts on the afternoon of the 2nd at 2 p.m. And our vendors will be setting up from 8 o'clock that morning and be ready for the Expo Center to be open at 4 p.m. so that they can start, you know, showing their products and their service to the attendees. So our vendors will have 2.5 days to show their wears and tears and get some customers. We also will have a live radio show there where we will have our vendors on and our entrepreneurs telling the world about what it is they do and why people should do business with them. Because you know what I am excited about is the fact that our exposure to the world through social media and the internet, our customers are all over the world so long as we expose ourselves, embrace, and utilize social media. So when you get into those conversations on the radio, at the conference, you will be heard all over the world because this is a radio show that is syndicated globally on the internet. I also want to encourage you to check out my blog on the Queen of the Empowered Soul .blogspot.com. Check my blog out and also check out the Elan Beauty magazine. I was featured May the 30th. I was in that episode on page 99, and I'm in good company because our first lady, Michelle Obama, is on the front page. So I feel so blessed to be in that copy. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Also, please remember to visit my show page here, blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark with an E-Hudson. Mark my show favorite. Please become my friend. When you mark my show favorite, you will be notified when guests and who the guests are. So please, I encourage you to do that and show me some love and some encouragement. So again, the website for the conference is www.visionweekendconference.com. www.visionweekendconference.com. Check it out, please. Share it with your friends. If you are looking to get a group rate, please call us at 860-355-9838 or 718-953-0244. Anyone who is planning on having a group of 10 or more, we can give you a special rate for the conference. So call us up. You can also add this number, 203-885-9434. And again, that's for the Vision Conference, coming up on September the 3rd and 4th with registrations and the Business Expo Center opening on the 3rd of September. Know that this conference is designed for you, the entrepreneurs. It is designed to help you shape your vision for greater success. We will have bankers there on the spot to talk to you about getting more money to expand your business. We will have experts there to help you understand how to convert your business to green businesses so that you can get some government grant, because that's where all the grant money is geared towards now, the green businesses. So we want to have you there. We want to do whatever we can so that we can help to make history, because the turnaround of the world's economy is greatly dependent on you and I as entrepreneurs. It is our responsibility to commit to building our business so that we can begin to, you know, hire some more people, help them during the process to understand what their calling and purpose is, and train them to spin them off into their entrepreneurial greatness. So let us not sit back. Let us not relax. Let us all get busy. I want you to join me tomorrow, May the 13th, when my guest on the show will be Dr. Norris. And I just want to remind you to listen to the show. He's coming all the way from Scotland on the show, Dr. Richard Norris. He's another powerful man of God who has committed his life to entrepreneurship. I want to remind you that you were created with greatness. You should not settle for mediocrity, because you were born for a destiny. Do not allow, and I'm going to borrow Dr. Barnsley Brown words, do not allow any energy vampires to rob you from that destiny. I'll see you tomorrow, May the 13th, when my guest will be Dr. Richard Norris from the UK. Thank you, as always, for joining me. I love you guys. I want you to follow your destiny and keep focused. I know that I am here to serve you. Love you guys. Think of the empowered. Thank God bless you. And good luck.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? The plan you have for me.
because I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this.
Thank you.
For showing me. And
directing me.
Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it.
Lord, I thank you.
For showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny.
My destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Lord, I
thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Oh, for showing me.
Oh,
to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Hi,
Steve. Did you get my message?
Yeah, I was supposed to call you in a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, but I just said let me call you now because I got off. Where can you meet me and at what time?
Where are you? You're in the Milford?
Yes, but I have to be down at my church on Newtown. No, not Newtown. On Route 7 at for 2:30. The lady is going to do a DVD for me to put up on YouTube, see if I can get some business. I don't know. Where are you today? Steve? Hello?
What happened?
Are you driving?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happened. You probably hit a dead spot. I didn't hear your reply to my question.
I'm all around. I can meet you at your church at